o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch. It's Jesse and Tausch today with Jason off for the rest of the week. Rumor has it Tausch is taking a beat, having a dinner tomorrow. I'm gonna miss you.
No, I'm actually having a dinner tonight, taking a beat.
Oh, that works too.
Yeah.
So before you leave for this weekend, I did want to dive further into what's going on with the Badgers. We touched on it yesterday when Bulaga came in here talking a little you-know-what with us. I kind of set him up to do so.
Yeah, you did.
It's part of my fault. But he deserved it this week.
You're very accountable today. You've put yourself out there. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah, what's going on?
That's weird, isn't it? Because that's usually the opposite of your brand. Like, you don't take accountability, and you always blame others.
Like, you hit your head this morning.
But today, today you've been really, like, accountable.
I did celebrate a birthday this week.
That's what I heard. I just listened to three ads said that.
At 33, I think I finally grew up a little bit, and I'm starting to put my name on it.
Okay.
Accountability. The year 33 is the year of accountability, right? So the Badgers lost, and they got blown up pretty good at Iowa on Saturday night. It was raining on it. I saw you tweeted about the rain.
Yeah, what an idiot. Iowa, great time. Was able to catch up with some friends, and it was a really good trip outside of the game. But I packed a rain jacket because I actually looked, and I never do. I never look at forecasts. I just live. And I have a rain jacket in my car, but I got there a little bit early. Like, I got there because I wanted to hang out. So I got there an hour and a half or 2 hours earlier than when I do this hit with Coach Fickell before the games. And then I got to sit around for an hour, but I have the jacket and it is a gorgeous fall afternoon. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I kind of had to make a decision about 1:30. Do I leave the jacket? Because it was nice, I'm sitting there, I left it because nobody wants to carry a jacket around all day. And I knew it was going to be a little bit of a walk, And then it gets to be the second quarter and it's raining. And I'm like, well, it'll stop by the time. We get the post game and all this other stuff. Sure enough, the post game gets done. I look out and it's still. And my rain jacket sitting in the car.
I don't know if I want to ask this, but I'm going to anyways. Why don't you look at the forecast?
You just want to live? Do you feel constrained by the forecast? Big weather?
So when we go on trips, like if we're going over, like we went over to Rome, I just assume.
What?
I do. I'll ask.
What do you assume?
What the temperature is going to be. And
but
I don't,
based on what?
Like, unless you live in the Midwest. You can't do that, man.
Unless it gets to be 20 below, 20 or lower, I'm going to do what I do. I have a rabbit jacket that I wear when it gets cold. That's what I do. I don't want to have 50 different things. I'm going to wear what I wear. I'm going to do what I do.
But then you tweet after the game.
That was my point. I actually, because I had heard throughout the week, hey, it's going to rain. And then I get there and it's like, it ain't going to rain. It looks beautiful out. It was idiotic by me. It was dumb.
So instead of...
I'm not recommending doing this,
but
Hunter.
You've led us down this path that now instead of talking about the college football season, the state of the Wisconsin
Badgers... I'm trying
to
detract. This is perfect because
it's working,
what we saw
yes,
in Iowa City was brutal.
I don't want to talk about that.
We're stuck on you and versus the weather.
Yeah, I am not a great planner.
Forecast.
Matter of fact, when we went and hiked Machu Picchu, I didn't know a ton about what the weather... I packed a quarter zip and I had one, I guess you would say, heavier sweatshirt. I didn't get into like taking rain jackets. Now, the only time I kind of did is because we did a golf trip a couple years ago to Scotland. And that was, because it can get gnarly. That was the only time that I ever was looking at, like, I better probably pack.
That's where you draw
something,
the line.
Because you don't want to go all the way over there and golf and then be miserable. So, for the most part, I made a faux pas on Saturday afternoon.
So, anyway, the Badgers lost. We did talk about it yesterday with Brian Bulaga, Iowa, who did join us and gloated a little bit about the big victory for his Hawkeyes. But even with Wisconsin at 5-4, heading into the bye this week, and then, of course, the matchup with number one Oregon next week, you posed a question yesterday, and Hunter and I both being involved with ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day.
How much are you involved?
Because I hear Hunter's on it all the time. I'm on it some of the time.
I hear Mertzi's on there. Gravy was doing some
Brad
stuff.
Norton.
Obviously, Norty.
Yep. But Mike Spaulding, WTMJ.
I don't feel like I ever hear you.
Well, then
he's done a lot of the pregame shows, so you're actually doing other stuff.
So okay, fair.
I like to enjoy a Coors Light during the game, so that eliminates me from postgame contention. This college football season's been fun. And even without the Badgers playing this weekend, there's some good matchups on Saturday. Alabama-LSU on Saturday night has playoff implications, even though both teams have two losses entering the game. Like, this has been a fun college football season, and I think overall the 12-team playoff with the rankings being unveiled for the first time the other night, it's a good thing for the sport. Feels like there's more interest this season than there has been in years past. Would you agree?
So why I brought this up, I have been staunch throughout the years. I used to do a show with Peter Burns, who was the SEC guy on ESPN. And I have always been, I don't want to go more than four. I didn't like even having four playoff teams. I have always been a believer that the college football season is the last bastion of the regular season really having meaning to it. And I thought the more teams you add in, the worse it's going to be. And I was wrong. And I am here to admit it's Accountability Thursday on Wilde and Tausch. It is that much better. The fact that losing one game doesn't eliminate you, and you add more teams in, and having a playoff, it's just fun. And when you see that, and you understand that now a two loss, the intrigue of Indiana is going to be fascinating to watch. They have no losses. I do believe Ohio State will beat them. The blank is going on around here.
Of course you're going to he's trying to do it discreetly so that we don't have to call out.
Riley Yauch, can we get a camera on Yauchster?
Look, the camera is zoomed in on you. No one knows that Riley is in here fixing one of our cameras.
Anyways, thank you, Riley, for trying to fix the camera. I think the fact that Indiana is sitting here undefeated, kudos to them, and what they've been able to do is Cignetti, and it's a great turnaround. But the fact that they're going to lose to Ohio State and then still potentially get in the playoff is really intriguing. And then they're going to play the big boys, and you're going to see how they do. And I have to admit, I was short-sighted. I did not look at the big picture. I always just thought, I love the fact that the November 7th game, Notre Dame, Boston College, if Notre Dame gets beat, they don't make the playoffs. I love that every week was a playoff. Now there's more people involved. One loss doesn't ruin a season. Two losses is potentially not ruining a season. Now, is there still some things that I think they need to tinker with? Yes. But on the whole, college football will never be more popular in the month of December than it's going to be because of this playoff. And having teams host at home and having that added layer to this college football season has added another dimension that I was wrong about. This is the most intriguing college football season because there's more to it, and you're going to actually crown the champion. It's not going to be appointed by the powers that be.
Would love to see some text and some comments on this, 844-770-3776, because I think it's interesting as Badgers fans, who I can speak for myself, and I know Hunter, we are both Wisconsin football fans, that the Badgers are really not in contention any longer for the college football playoff.
That is correct.
Year. But the season is still intriguing because of the national matchups and because of the 12-team field. I agree with you. I think 8 teams would have been the number a couple of years ago, and you could have still had the drama of the committee seeding the teams, and you still could have had the conference championship games mean a lot, that it's an automatic bid in, and so even if you lose a game during the season, it doesn't matter. Like, if Penn State beats Wisconsin in 2016 in the Big Ten championship game, the winner of that game's in the playoff no matter what. Enhancing the value of those conference championship games in that weekend, I think, is one of the big factors for why this season is going to be so successful, and the fact that the teams that win those 4 conference title games get first round buys in the playoff, I think, is awesome.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
That's dumb.
That you can beat, like, BYU.
So Florida State can have 3 losses. Well, Clemson.
Sure.
Could have 3 losses, win the ACC, and they get a bye.
They could get a first round bye because they win the conference title.
That's
yes.
really dumb.
I would love that. No, I absolutely. It adds the value. You're talking about adding value to regular season games.
Yeah, but it's still got to be somewhat equitable.
It means there are more games that mean more around the country every single week.
But they mean less in the ACC.
They don't mean
but
less.
But they do.
They don't.
We disagree.
BYU's undefeated. They're playing for a chance at a first-round bye in the playoff, even if they're not ranked by the committee as one of the top four teams in the country.
I'm fine giving them an auto bid. I'm not fine giving them an auto bye. No.
I think what we saw last year with Florida State being held out as an undefeated team is we saw the subjectivity of the College Football Playoff Committee come into play, just like the objectivity of the BCS rankings came into play, and that's why that system needed to be changed. Now you get both. You get the best 12 teams in the country that are in, and there are certain qualifications that teams get to win their way in, and they are deserving, and you can have a committee that seeds based on
deserving
best
of getting
and most deserving.
A four-loss BYU team, and I know that's not how it's going to shake out, but a four-loss Clemson team should not get a bye compared to a one-loss Georgia team. That's absurd. It's absurd.
Couple of texts rolling in. Ian and East Troy, the best part about the expanded playoff is the ability for schools to have a home playoff game, which is going to be
a
big thing in the first round.
Agree. Again, you give me a lot of grief. You act like I don't hold myself accountable. I do. I was wrong. This is a better system. But come on now. Like, the ACC champs should not get an auto buy if they don't deserve it. They just don't. They shouldn't.
Hunter, you're in here every Saturday for ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day. Is this season better because of the 12-team playoff?
Absolutely. I've been a huge proponent for this. I think they need to go to the 16 to get rid of that buy. But that's why, though, Tausch, is then you get rid of the bye, and then it's just everybody's going to go through it that route. And I think the fact that when it was the four-team playoff, our conversation was around the teams that are like 3 through 6. Now our conversation is teams 10 through like 13, 14. All we're doing is we're sliding it down, and the more teams that are actually in the conversation for postseason college football, I think is better for the sport. Because then you have more markets that are involved in that conversation. With how regionalized the sport is, this makes it a bigger deal for more people in the country.
When's enough enough?
I think 12.
16.
Maybe 16.
You sure 16?
Maybe 16.
Why not 32?
If they go to 32, then you have to get rid of non-conference games. And then it's 8 regular season games. If they were to go 32.
What's the right amount of games?
16.
So you have no problem with college players playing 16 games?
Yeah.
Okay. Entertain me.
Here it is. Yeah.
Entertain
me. I knew this was coming.
They're going to with the money that would be coming in then they also have to expand rosters and scholarship
numbers.
They're
actually doing the opposite.
Yeah, I know. Because
but so you're okay with that. That has always been another one of my pet peeves is especially when guys weren't making NIL and doing anything. Now obviously guys are making money, but that whole concept of, yeah, it would be great for the fans. Yeah, it would. But is it great for the players that are trying to go and carve out their professional career playing 17, 18 games in college? No, it's not. But we are thirsty for it, and we're ready to do it. And you know what? That's what's happening. So, unfortunately, I have given in. I fought the fight for years. But I am now on this side of the microphone, and I also want to be entertained. It's fun.
It's fun
being entertained. And to hell with all the other stuff. I mean, that's basically what I've been taught. And while I will always be a staunch advocate for player safety, I've lost the fight. I thought the NFL was crazy to go to 17 weeks. I was sitting in NFLPA meetings saying last Custer's last stand of this is we're not doing it. And we gave in. And at that point, I kind of was like, to hell with it. Entertain me. And I'm here now.
Is there a certain point where, let's just hypothetically say, injuries don't go up with this 12-team system because they're playing more games and these rookies aren't getting hurt right away in their rookie season of the NFL because of the number of games that they played more, where you're like, okay, we're okay. We can go up to that 16-team playoff.
You really think people care about that?
Well, I'm saying you care about it, though.
I do.
So I'm saying, is there a level of that? Like, how many years do you think it would take for you to see if, like, that'll be an issue or not?
So it will never change my mind because you have a 100% chance of getting injured at some point in your career. Almost 100%. When you play more games, you have a higher percentage to get injured. It's not going to change. You can give me all the studies you want. Playing in it, adding to the hyper-competitiveness of a playoff game, and then you're stripping down the non-conference where you're basically playing a half, And you're saying, well, we're going to replace that because it's more entertaining. Yeah. But the body, you're going to wear and tear more. So, yes, entertain me, but then don't ever try to tell me you're about player safety, too. That's always been my thing, and that's where I have now landed. And players, in the NFL, we've signed off on it. Let's make sure our college guys and gals are signing off on it, too. And when that happens, great. But to say that, well, the studies are going to show that this, every time you suit up, there is a risk that something can happen and that your earning potential down the road is going to be hampered by that happening. So we all understand that, and that's fine. It is super entertaining, and this season has been much more fascinating because of all those variables. But no, there's not going to be some study that comes out and says, well, the injury rate's actually down a little bit, so we could add four more games. Blah. I say,
so
blah, says blah to that.
What if you allow like a one-and-done system to come into college football? So you just got to go for a year,
and then
you can
leave. I think that's going to have to happen, for sure. I think that should happen. Is that going to happen? I also think you're now, if you're, you know, this whole settlement plan comes into effect, you're going to have to figure out contracts. You can't just keep this system rolling. It's not feasible, and it ain't going to work.
Our NFL locker room's going to be okay with an 18, 19-year-olds coming in now instead of 22, 23.
Kenny Clark was 18, 19 when he came in.
Yeah, but he's an exception. He's not the rule. I'm saying if the majority of your, like, if more rookies are going to be 18-year-old kids,
guess who doesn't have a ton of say in that? Six-year players. And are they going to be replaced by these guys? Yeah. And that's the way this cookie's going to crumble. So there is a cause and effect to all of this stuff. Why I fought, or at least in my own mind and on our show about this, is because of all of those dominoes that fall. But again, players gave in. And I understand why. Because there's money there and guys' careers are short. So I totally get why everybody has done what they've done. We are now in the, we're going to entertain, we're going to do this. Well, they're going to get rid of a preseason game that nobody played in anyways. We're going to get 18 games. That is going to happen. I just hope they don't end up going to 20, but I'm not going to be shocked when that does. And I'll be sitting here saying, oh, Thursday night game. Huh, that'll be fun. I'll watch that because this is what we've agreed to, and that's where we're at.
844-770-3776 is your way into
the show.
Fun
little banter. I like Hunter.
He was getting after you a little bit, and you were getting after
me. He's asking me questions.
It was a spirited conversation.
No, it was
I love
awesome.
College football.
It was really good. There was nothing like, I'm confused. He was like Evan Williams. And now the whole show's going to go to hell because Evan's
We're going to hear from Barry Alvarez coming up next on the Great Dane Huddle earlier this week. Some very interesting commentary from the former head coach and athletic director at the University of Wisconsin about the state of the Badgers following the loss to Iowa, with number one Oregon coming to town next week.
Is it fair for me to tell you guys that if you're on board with all of these added games that you're not really an advocate on a player safety standpoint? Or is that unfair for me to say?
I mean, you've been doing it for years.
I know, but I'm asking. Because I do think everybody wants guys to stay healthy. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, I mean, no one is out here rooting for players to get hurt.
Agreed.
Yeah. What if you're like I was saying, I'm saying we should expand the rosters more. We should have more scholarships to football. You should be able to travel with more guys and do those things to allow for guys to take more plays off because you're not limited by a roster size.
That's just not the reality where we're at.
I know, but I'm just saying, I want more games because I want to be entertained.
Let's be honest. You're playing big boy games. You're not putting in your third string safety when you're playing Ohio State. You're just not going to do that. So it's cute. And it's a great idea, but it's not realistic. Even if you do expand the roster. Guys, you're much more likely if you keep this model where you have three early season games that you're going to get these guys in. When you start adding and it's all conference and then it's more playoff games, you think that coaches are going to say, you've played a lot of snaps. We're going to pull you. We're going to put Frankie in there. Well, Frankie hadn't played. Well, but yeah, your rep count because we're in the semifinals and you're going to put in a fourth string kid because – well, I think we've worn you out too much. You know that's not going to happen.
12U baseball does it. Why can't
which 12U? Which not on? Depends on which tournament we're at.
Just tell us about Pella Windows
get
again.
Get the look you want for your home with customizable windows and doors from Pella. The durability of materials gets tested tens of thousands of times to ensure that they last for years to come. Pella offers custom colors and innovative features like shades between the glass. And right now, to celebrate our gal, Gina Della's 60th, 0 for 60. Put zero down, zero interest for up to 60 months. Certain restrictions do apply. Hold your appointment on or before November 8th. And you get started today at PellaWI.com.
Tausch's reactions to what Barry Alvarez said about the state of the Badgers earlier this week on the Great Dane Huddle on ESPN Madison. That's straight ahead, coming up on Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Wilde and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason off for the rest of the week. He'll be back on Monday following the Packers bye. 844-770-3776 is the number.
What do you think old boys
do the show
today? What do you think old Jaybird's doing? I bet chores.
Yeah, power washing is his thing, right? That's his favorite.
Nah, I bet he's like looking around his basement, and I hope he like takes a beat and go grabs a lunch with Paula. That's why I hope he does that.
Are pumpkin patches still open this time of year? Are those all closed up?
It's done.
Those are done.
Pumpkin season's done. Apple picking's done. I don't know.
Maybe a corn maze?
Probably wrapped up too. Most of the corn's harvested
He doesn't seem like a corn maze guy.
No, it's too. It'd be too like scary.
Yeah, you don't know who's going to jump out of those things.
Not a haunted house guy. Yeah, I don't know what he'd be doing.
Writing? Working on a book?
Yeah, he's probably got that. Maybe it is power washing. I guarantee you all the stuff, laundry.
Maybe he and LaFleur are grabbing lunch today, just hanging out, taking a beat.
Maybe. That'd be nice. It'd be cute.
Barry Alvarez joins the Great Dane Huddle. He has a nice dinner with the fellas, Tarek Sala, Derek Engler, Alex Gravatt, every Monday on ESPN Madison. And earlier this
week. What's the name of that show again?
The Great Dane Huddle.
Interesting. With, love the Great Dane.
And
right?
Barry Alvarez is part of it a lot.
I was wondering if there was... Yeah, okay.
He had some interesting commentary earlier this
week. I'll say I've listened. You guys sent clips. I've been able to catch it in my car. He is unfiltered.
And he's got some good stuff that he's been saying.
I love it when the old ball coach is unfiltered now. I love that.
Well, let's hear some of what he said earlier this week with this round of Did You Hear This?
Consider it the radio version of a conversation at the water cooler. It's time for Did You Hear This on Wilde and Tausch.
First up for you, Tausch, Barry Alvarez says the Badgers looked unprepared for the rivalry game against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Here's Barry.
I've got to tell you, over the years, when I first started, it was Minnesota. When you play a rivalry game, you have to understand, and your players have to understand, they are getting fired up. I mean, they are getting cranked all week. And if you don't match that enthusiasm and that energy, you're in trouble. And it took me a while until I ended up hiring a coach from Minnesota, and he came down and said, you know, do you realize how they prepare for Wisconsin every week? And we'd have a hard time with them early on in my tenure. He said, it's a bowl game. Man, it's a huge thing all week. And I changed my preparation for games like that from that point on, and it made a heck of a difference.
I see you smirking as you're listening to that. What did Barry... approach Minnesota or any other rivalry games a certain way with you there?
I know the coach that he hired, and he was my coach. And he was very adamant. He'd spent some time up in Minnesota. And I think a lot of times these rivalry games, when you talk about the Bears, Packers, and whatnot, it's more about the fans than it is about the players. But I think there is a sense, especially when I played, that there was a chip on the shoulder, especially for Wisconsin guys, that ended up going to Minnesota and playing. And I think Barry probably looked at it from, first off, in the beginning, it was all about whatever we're doing. But you do have to get an understanding of what your opponent, where their headspace was. And we would have a coach come up and kind of give a scouting report. And I just remember Hubes like losing a gasket in front of us, basically saying how important it was to the Gophers, and it dang well better be as important to us. And, you know, there is no doubt, I think Coach Alvarez was fantastic at telling stories to let his guys know what we're in for during the week. And that was, I think, one of his greatest strengths. And there is no doubt, I was not there in the beginning, but there is no doubt we always knew the Axe game. And it went to the point so much, and this was the old days, not these beautiful big TVs. I'm talking like an old block TV that was like placked up in a corner. And the entire week, you'd be sitting in the locker room if we were throwing cards or just shooting the breeze, a running loop of old highlights of his guys. Can remember Jerry Wunsch, right tackle, grabbing the old axe and chopping down the field goal post. It was a loop with a VHS player shoved up there, and it ran the entire week. Now they have cases for the put the trophies in and everything else, but that's what it was. There's no TV. You're not watching. Jerry Springer was a big deal. We'd watch Springer occasionally.
Love Springer.
You are not the father.
That's not Jerry Springer.
That was not Springer, and it was the one week. Hey, you're not watching anything else. This is where our head's at.
Next up, did you hear this? Barry Alvarez saying it's frustrating to watch what Iowa did to Wisconsin on Saturday. No blank, but he actually has an interesting perspective on this. Take a listen.
If you could run the ball, listen, you don't have to get cute and don't get bored. Just keep doing it. You keep the ball away from your opponent. You're tacking points on the board. You're going to win the game. And that was classic. That's our game plan. That's what we once here for so many years doing the same thing that they just did to us. And it was frustrating to sit there and for me to watch that.
Yeah, I get it. And there were a lot of fans expressing that same frustration on social media throughout the course of the game that night, too. My issue with this, Tausch, is a couple of years ago, the change was made to go to Luke Fickell because no one wanted to be what Wisconsin had been. Wisconsin had peaked in what it had been as an identity of run the football and play strong defense, and that there was a hump that the Badgers program wasn't able to get over. So now that we're actually seeing that change being implemented, it seems like people are frustrated that Wisconsin doesn't look like what they used to look like. And you can't have it both ways. You can't say there's a hump that everyone needs to try and get over because 9-10 wins a year isn't good enough, but then now say, well, this is what growing pains looks like, and this is tough under Luke Fickell in his second season trying to figure this thing out. I don't understand what everybody wants out of this.
You want it to look better, and you want to beat Iowa, and you want to do it your way, but you still want to have the physicality that football requires. That's what you want. And now, whether or not you can execute it, whole nother animal. Iowa has stuck to what they do. We've changed course. Is it fair to make judgments after 2 years? That's up for you guys to decide. I know, in my mind, I know you can't, it's not a light switch deal. I still believe that our group is physical. You just do it in a different way. Iowa does it. They line up. They got fullbacks. They got tight ends. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And there is no doubt. And I listen, you know, from the job, I listen to Kirk Ferentz's press conferences, and I try to get an idea of where Iowa was coming from. And I thought one of the interesting lines was he did mention that we've changed course. They have not. They're sticking with what they've done. And they came up in a game I played in 1999 where Ron broke the record and we ended up going to a Rose Bowl. So it wasn't a fun day, but it was fun to see what it needs to look like. We crushed them. But they took that lesson and they've elevated themselves. And now whether or not they're going to be happy with 4-5 losses, that's up for them to decide. We do what we do. But to understand what Coach Alvarez is saying with his frustration, he's not the head ball coach anymore. It is different. And I'm sure from his end, he spent all these years in it looked a certain way. And Iowa did to us what Wisconsin used to do to every team we played. That is no longer what we do. And I'm sure that can be frustrating.
Now we're a little late here, but one more for Did You Hear This? Barry Alvarez, for those who have been saying that the assistant coaches need to step their game up, here's what Coach Alvarez said to that extent.
You know, this is where coaching comes in. This is where, as I used to tell assistant coaches, that's why they call you a coach. You've got to have an answer for all these things. You've got to break this down, see what your problems are. We could still end up having a very good year. You know, you've got games that are winnable, but we have a lot of things that have to be corrected. Let's correct those things and really put an emphasis on what we can do and finish out the year strong instead of limping out or feeling sorry for ourselves or making excuses. Or we don't have this or we don't have that. Let's come up with some answers of what we can do and clean them up and play well. Finish the season strong.
It always stands out to me, Tausch, when someone like Barry Alvarez, his stature and his accomplishments and his achievements, is saying a lot of the same things that fans on social media are saying during and after a game. What stands out to you there?
I chuckle because coach is coach. He's coaching right there. He is saying the same things when I was in that locker room. And it's about you have everything in front of you yet. We'd have a tough loss. Can still win the Big Ten. Now, there comes a point where you don't have everything in front of you, and I'm sure the goals for this team were to get to that college football playoff. That's not going to happen. So then you adjust, and you have to, as a coach, what are we good at? What can we do? What can we still accomplish? And how you maneuver that, the hardest thing in coaching is to understand, a lot like we discussed with Jordan Love earlier about horse racing and knowing when to push and knowing when to pull back. Because if you are constantly just bringing the hammer, you're going to end up crushing your players. You have to know when they need a kick in the butt and when they need a pat on the butt. That's the tricky part. And I think this group right now needs a pat on the butt because they've been beaten down. They've had everybody. They've got 2 weeks to let that loss just fester. Now, when the guys come back, you go through, you correct it. When the guys come back, it is a rejuvenated. I look at this is a three-game stretch. What's been in the past is been in the past. Let's move forward and let's figure out how we can find a way to win three games.
You can catch all of Barry Alvarez on the Great Dane Huddle. Subscribe to the Great Dane Huddle podcast on Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Barry, I believe, is going to be joining the show again this coming Monday.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, it's so fun to hear those clips because for everybody that's been in that locker room, I could send that to my former teammates, and I'm telling you, everybody will get – that's the beauty of Barry Alvarez, is that he knows and he is able to put it into words and get guys – We could spit out his speeches like that. And it's not brainwashing if you buy in. And he had an innate knack to get guys to buy in.
With Jason not here today, Tausch, you get the privilege of telling everyone about Steinhoffels.
Steinhoffels, partnering with Special Spaces Wisconsin and the Green Bay Packers to create dream bedrooms for children battling cancer all across Wisconsin. This season, every time the Packers make a field goal, been a lot of those lately, Steinhoffels will donate $1,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader since 1934. It's 100% employee-owned and is a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers.
We will get to Whoa Nelly featuring Hunter Vaughn. Whoa Hunter is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse and Tausch today on Wildy and Tausch with Jason Off, and I saw he tweeted that he got two texts that I said something ridiculous on the show.
What did you say? There's about four things. I'm assuming the Evan Williams debacle.
It's got to be the Evan Williams debacle, which still I feel was misinterpreted, and I think you're part to blame for that. Whoa Nelly featuring Hunter Vaughn. Time, let's get to Whoa Hunter.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning I had breakfast at Tracy Sirocco's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
I have something special for you guys on this version of Whoa Hunter. Another blind resume.
Oh, BR2.
Wow.
BR2.
This one is a college football related one between two teams. Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of numbers.
College football teams.
Yep.
Okay.
Team A, 9-0. Their strength of schedule is 103rd in the country.
Okay, I think I know who this
their
is.
Their points per game differential is plus 32.9. So they're outscoring their opponents by 32.9 points per game.
Per game. Okay.
Team B, 8-0. Their strength of schedule is 100th. Their point differential, 25.8. Which team is better, and who do you think each of the teams are?
So I think it's Oregon and Indiana.
You're correct on one of them.
Indiana's 9-0.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I knew Indiana would be
8-0 in Miami?
Miami would be my guess.
I'll also give you another hint. This Team B,
Army.
Not from this year.
Oh.
It is last year's team.
Oh, no. You got old T upset. Oh, no.
Come on, bro.
This is a team from last year, though,
Florida
at this
State.
Point, was 8-0.
Florida State. That was a good guess. Georgia.
Yes. The Georgia Bulldogs. Almost in the same exact spot.
So even a playoff team.
Your Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott blind resume was really good. Like I thought it really pounded home points. What's your point here?
Indiana has a slightly lesser strength of schedule than what Georgia did last year.
Okay.
And everyone talked about how great Georgia was and how awesome they are, and they're basically the same exact team through this point in the season. But through this point in the season, they are.
No, but they're not, because
literally the numbers say they are.
The numbers are junk when that comes to that, because Indiana's playing Purdue and Lord knows who else.
Georgia's strength of schedule was 100. Indiana's is 103.
Yeah.
You're really going to split hairs on three.
Yes. It's not three.
That's absurd.
Georgia played LSU. And so I'm.
But they hadn't yet.
You don't know that. Just because they put a number down, that doesn't mean they played like Appalachia State, which maybe was 300th, and that skews your thing. You play two big boy games and you win them both, that's worth something in college football. So it still can skew your sauce. It's the strength of schedule. Sauce.
Sauce.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand the general point, but what I care about, if Indiana loses to Ohio State by 15 points, they don't get in the big boy Big Ten tournament championship game. It's going to be end up Penn State. It's going to be Oregon, Ohio State, those three. Does Indiana get in?
I don't think they do.
Don't either. Is that a shame? Because it sounds like they're just as good as last year's Georgia team.
They're going to be the one everybody's talking about at the end of this thing, though, I bet. If they beat Michigan, lose to Ohio State, don't make the Big Ten championship game, they're going
to
be the one everybody's talking about
and
at
why
the end.
It should
what
go
if
16?
They lose to Ohio State by 8?
They still lose to Ohio State. That's
I think it matters. I think the eye test is going to matter
if it's
bigly.
If they're leading in the fourth quarter, Ohio State has a big flurry at the end, and they win by 3 or 4 or 7, like you're saying. Yeah, that would matter.
And Ohio State wins the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Then Oregon gets left out. Can the Big Ten get three teams in?
There's
I
no
think
way.
They will.
Well, then I think Penn State will be out.
There's no way a committee would look at it and pick Indiana over Oregon in like any metric. At this juncture,
no,
you can't.
I'm not arguing with you. I just think it's going to be a fascinating deal to watch, because I do believe Indiana will lose to Ohio State. Now, Indiana's proven everybody wrong. I give them a ton of credit. They have flipped the script. I watched that team play last year. It just shows you college football is a year-to-year, month-to-month process now. Indiana loses. If they lose big time to Ohio State, they will not get in.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a dogfight of a game, they should get in.
Yeah.
One more quickie, Hunter. What you got?
My Dallas Cowboys. They're 3-5. Cooper Rush is going to be starting against the 6-2 Eagles. That's a 3:25 kickoff. I really don't want to watch this game. What else should I do on Sunday?
Well, you can't go to a pumpkin patch. We found that out. Apple pickings. Done. Are you a corn maze guy?
But I thought we said corn mazes are gone because it's...
No, we thought it was.
Jason
didn't think Jason would do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you like doing? You want to go help build a fence? You want to go help build Jesse's fence?
Nah, I'm good.
Indoor mini golf.
There we go. Maybe that's the route.
You had some show that you loved watching, too, that you missed. What was that old show that you loved? It was on HBO.
House of Dragons? That's been done for like a couple months.
Oh, yeah. They haven't put out a new season?
Rewatch.
A new season. The season just ended like 3 months
ago. How am I supposed to? Yeah. So what?
You don't watch any TV shows.
No, I do.
Okay. And how many shows start a new season 3 months
later? I'm
going to
tell you this. I have gotten into Love is Blind. It is a dumb show.
Oh, it's awful, but it's great.
So I started watching season one a while ago. And what happens is I'll be done with it, and then the next season is right there. So they must be pumping those out at a regular basis.
Well, they pump them out every year. It's just you're a couple years behind.
That might be it. What a crazy show that is. That is
Bucks host the Celtics at 2:30 on Sunday. Get down to Fiserv Forum.
Oh, great. I get to watch another team that I like get blown out. Awesome.
And if you miss the game, from the biggest plays on the court to the comments.
Are you going
to
panic if they lose to the Jazz tonight?
Yeah, Giannis will get traded. He's going to ask for a trade.
Oh, my God.
Giannis is gone. Giannis is gone.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes. No more, no less. It's Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the Bucks game or just want to relive the big moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame, and catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts. We'll wrap it up with Tausch's final moments in for the week.
Don't be so creepy.
That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Jesse Nelson here to tell you about the great team at Madison Weight Loss. The team had helped me lose 40 pounds over the span of a 60-day program, and all I had to do was change up my diet. I didn't have to go get any injections. I didn't have to do any intense workouts. All it took was changing what I eat, and that was the secret to finding how to lose unnecessary fat, unwanted fat, fat that I thought, okay, like I got to do something to change up what I'm going to do. Someday I'm going to lose this weight. Well, someday became this year, thanks to the team at Madison Weight Loss. All you got to do is schedule a free consultation, either in person or virtually. Check it out online, madisonweightloss.com. That's where you can learn about what the program all entails, what the diet looks like. You can figure out what the app is all about, where you track your weight, you track your meals, you learn different recipes that you can incorporate foods you may not have even ever heard of before into this diet. It's amazing. Check it out, madisonweightloss.com. Schedule your free consultation, again, either in person or virtually, with the team at Madison Weight Loss. Their coaching, their guidance, their enthusiasm to help you is unrivaled. Madison Weight Loss.com. Results may vary. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's a love in every world. Somehow I Tausch, you're taking a beat, having a dinner, and you will not be on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I'm going to miss it. But yes, I'm taking a beat. I'll be back on Monday with Jason and maybe you?
I think I'm working. I guess maybe I can explore my own. Hunter, you available Monday?
Nope.
All right. Well, guess I'm working. Thanks for coming along for the ride today. As always, and as Jason always says, have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.